premiere.
Welcome back to another episode of the Calicon Blogcast. My name is Matthew, and today we have a jam-packed show. We're finally going to get to State of Tech halfway through 2023. We'll get through much more Anime Expo news. Holy shit, some of the things they brought out. We'll talk about Summer's Game Fest, and then we'll end with a discussion about Persona and Offkai.
You mean the Xbox and Capcom conferences?
Yeah, but there's a couple of tellers too, but we'll talk about them in a moment. But to talk about everything tonight, I have Ryan.
Now Jeff Keighley wasn't lying. The rumors are true.
Jericho.
I never saw it coming. No.
And finally, Nate.
Same here. You never saw it coming.
Jesus Christ, guys. Can you be a little more tactical about your openings? Jeez.
All right.
I know, like, it's, I mean, like, fucking Kazam? The hell?
No, guys, I think what you're talking about is that Linus Tech Tips is showing up to Anime Expo. No, he's actually not. No.
That'd be great. No, that'd be great. I'll talk to him more about certain GPUs that I want to.
They should have got Jay's two set. He's cooler.
Truth be told, I'd expect Jay over Linus to be there. Maybe Kyle. Kyle.
Well, Jay lives in the area, right? Yeah.
Jay lives in Riverside.
It's still in the area. It's still SoCal.
It's very likely that he'd be dragged to the con due to his teenage daughter, just saying.
She could be into anime.
She is in anime.
Exactly.
She's diehard into it.
So, speaking of Linus in that group, I want to start off with this whole a look at tech halfway through 2023 with the TechTubers, and that there's been a big shift in who's in and who's out. And the big one that dropped all the way back at almost about a month ago was that Linus Sebastian was stepping down as CEO of Linus Media Group. It has not taken effect yet. It's going to take place at the beginning of the month, so July 1st. So overall, he's stepping down as the chief executive officer for Linus Media Group, Flowplane Media, and Creator Warehouse. But he's still staying on as chief vision officer, so a CVO. And you might have seen this through, like, for example, Google, where it's like, oh, the CEO retired or he moved on, but he's not really moving on. He's moving on to a different position. And he became the CVO. Taking his place is Taryn Strong, Sebastian's old boss from NCIX, who had held director positions at Dell and Corsair, was named the new CEO. So just because he stepped down, and obviously if you've seen every video since he stepped down, he's still producing them for Linus Tech Tips.
In his own words, I mean, he is stepping down to CFO, or CVO, I meant to say. But in his own words, and we'll probably play the clip here in a second, but it may be a made up bullshit position, but he's still active in the Linus Media Group and, of course, TechLink as well.
My new role is going to be Chief Vision Officer, which is a stupid, like, BS-sounding made-up role, but I think it really is the best one. We thought about Creative Officer, but that didn't really encompass what I'm going to be responsible for, because my gut and principles are what got us to where we are today, so I'm still going to be charting the path that I think makes sense. We don't want to lose our moral compass. But when it comes to the details of how to best utilize our resources to get there, I need some help. And I'm sure you have a lot of questions right now, like who our second sponsor is. Just kidding. We're going to get to that later. First, I want to talk about what isn't... Did I really write that? Sorry.
Yes. And more importantly, he and his wife still retain a majority stake in Linus Media Group. So as long as they hold the majority stake, they ain't going anywhere anytime soon.
Can you believe how much the buyout would have been had they taken the money, though?
A lot. I would imagine.
What was it? 500 million? Last I checked?
Yeah, a lot.
Oh man. There's a lot of money being thrown around. And we'll talk about money towards the end of this segment. But going back to the whole TechTubers. So we mentioned Linus, and we also did mention Bitwith and both J2Sets in this conversation. With Bitwith, you may have noticed his Copytext videos. That is the last thing he's doing in terms of the tech tubing world. After that,
Kyle is literally done.
Yeah, Kyle's done. He's going to step away. He's going to do a lot more of the personal vlogging stuff. But yeah, he came out and said like, yeah. And there was a lot of stuff that happened in his personal life that just caused him to like really lose interest. And at that point, it was just like, yeah, I'm done. I want to get out. And then, as we mentioned, Copytext this year was the last thing he's doing for his channel in terms of like actual coverage, the same way that like Linus and Gamers Nexus and Paul's Hardware and Hardware Canucks like they do. So it kind of sucks that Kyle is going away or Bitwit is going away from the TechTuber space, but you'll still see him in some of his personal vlogs. Then we also mentioned J2Sense. There was a little bit of, I don't want to say controversy with him, but initially they had uploaded a video of like the 4060 Ti, and it was like they called it like the best value when everyone else was calling like the worst value out there, and they took it down because Jay did not produce that video. It was the other people working with Jay. And they couldn't work on it, or he couldn't like look at it because he was in the hospital or he was under surgery or some shit like that. Speaking of the
40s, it's Phil's fault.
Yeah, basically it's Phil's fault. Yeah. But speaking of that, I don't know what's going on with Nvidia, but like they just recently launched the RTX 4060 Ti, and it only has 8 gigabits of VRAM, and everyone is just like exploding their heads. It's like, how come? Why only 8 gigs of VRAM? Why?
Because you got to pay the Primo package of another $100 to get that 12 gigs.
I thought it was 16.
Was it 16? It was around that area. I know that much.
Yeah, but even then, the bus was only like, what, 128 or 192? It is nowhere near the bus width of like the upper echelon 40 series cards or even like the upper echelon 30 series cards. As we mentioned on our last show, everything outside the 4090 is a goddamn dumpster fire when it comes to NVIDIA. And yeah, everyone is praising the likes of AMD for their RX architecture and what they're producing. But guess what? There's a nice price for, like, let's say RX 6600 or an RX 7600. It's still expensive because the price of GPUs overall have gone up.
I thought they were up just because of the shortage. Now it's That's just up done. Just because it's just up.
It's just up.
Shortages are long term.
Yeah, the shortage is over. It's more like, because they're just being hotcakes is the reason why we're just keeping it at that price. You know, keeping it like $1,300 for a 4060 or something.
It's not because of like the like what's not really going to, like what because it's like selling like hotcakes. It's just the fact that we are dealing with new tech. And it is like, you got to remember with like NVIDIA, it's the new DLSS 3. They have all the new ray tracing like cores in it. You have to look at all the different perspectives of that. And because everything that's going into the card, that it does raise pricing. And then we look at everything else. And it's like, it's not worth the value that we're getting out of like cores or at least out of different VRMs. Not to mention like anything like in the GPU space, like especially for the 40 series outside of 90, as we have mentioned before, is just not adding up to where price and availability should be.
all these issues extend beyond GPUs. We've been following the saga of AMD in the exploding Ryzen chips, primarily with ASUS motherboards. Yeah, that was a fun saga to see unfold in real time.
Oh, that was a dumpster fire, not to mention ASUS like going saying, oh, well, you fried your motherboard or the thing exploded even with a beta BIOS. And if you supposedly download this beta BIOS, you void your warranty. All said and done, it's over. Just to what? Within what, Matt? Like 48 hours? 72 hours that you reverse that?
I believe so. And then speaking of warranties and stuff that's not being honored, we mentioned last week about Gigabyte and what's been exposed on their PCB boards with their GPUs and how they're cracking because of how they're built, and they're not getting replaced and their warranties are not being honored. So, oh boy. who are you gonna go to now? ASRock?
Don't say MSI. Don't say MSI.
MSI has their own shit I'm hearing about. Something about like BIOSes that can like that people can hack into or some shit like that.
Oh yeah. When they did the, was it the Z690 or was it the Z, or was it the it was it AMD boards, wasn't it? Or was it Z690 boards?
Oh, it was hold on, I just did a quick Google from Tom's Hardware. Boot guard keys from MSI hack posted endangering PCs. Files prolonged during the central MSI hack last month have started to proliferate through the dark web. One of the main worries they spotted among the digital loot was an Intel OEM private key. MSI would have used this to cite its firmware/BIOS updates and pass Intel boot guard verification checks.
So it was a Z, maybe a Z6 or 7 board.
I do not know, but I'll double check. But yeah, MSI went through some shit. ASUS went through some shit. Gigabyte went through some shit. NVIDIA and AMD are going through. So like I said, the only one that's really untouchable right now somehow is ASRock. And call me crazy, but if I were to start a build today for a 7000 series Ryzen CPU, I might go ASRock. Call me crazy. I mean, until the ASUS shit gets fixed, then I'll go back to ASUS.
I'm pretty sure they've gone back. They've fixed everything on that behalf. I mean, like I said, they did kind of do some damage control when it came down to that whole beta BIOS thing. As far as, I don't, was there any other, like, I swore there was something else in the ASUS space that was, like, going on that was, like, not.
I don't know, but, you know, it's just been controversy to controversy. There's a big controversy that's happening this week, and it involves Reddit. And essentially, what it really comes down to is raising the price of their API, so everything used to interact with the data of Reddit. Initially, there was pushback from the third-party app community. You might have heard one of them called Apollo. There was this big back and forth between Reddit and Apollo, and because Apollo uses it uses Reddit's API to pull for information, and now kind of like how Twitter was when Elon Musk took over, Reddit wants to charge more for that API. But also with the API, a lot of moderators use it for like using bots so that they can easily moderate their communities more by using automated systems, and they're going to raise that price. Earlier in the week, a lot of subreddits went dark. So a lot of big ones like our pictures, our awe, our music, they all went dark in protest of this API change. And I think two of the big ones that went dark was RNBA and R8HL. During the time that the Nuggets won the championship for the NBA and the Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup. And those subreddits were dark. So none of the fans could go on Reddit to celebrate the fact that their team won because of the protest.
So currently, as the status right now for subreddits, are they back to normal or are they still having an issue?
Depends on the subreddit. Some of the mods, like either A, the blackouts keeps going on indefinitely. Some decide like to keep extending it, like per vote of the community. Some don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it's depending on the community.
Yes.
Oh, and wow.
Either just mark private or
is it so? From what I've been hearing about the whole Reddit issue, is because you have to pay now to keep a Reddit, to keep a subreddit now. Is it this?
No. It's not that you have to pay. It's that when you want to access the when you want to access the mod tools, they use the API, and now Reddit wants to charge you for that. So like if you set up a bot to automatically detect when someone uses a racial slur, for example, or you have something moderation in place that uses the API, and a lot of moderators, they work for free. So it's like, why are you going to work for free and then pay Reddit to use their tools?
Yeah. I think that's freaking dumb too. Cause it's like, why charge extra while you're working on a Reddit that's, having a lot of people. And if you're going to change it up, you're going to lose those people to another subreddit somewhere.
Well, but here's the problem. It takes years and years and years to build a fan base.
Exactly. Like, for example, like you have all these other subreddits out there, like what, anime? And that has a big fan base of people that love those kind of topics. But if you pick up a brand new topic, it's like you're going to bring your whole fan base back again. Good luck trying to get everybody back into that subreddit.
I'm on Reddit right now. Our anime is still dark.
Oh, that's eight. Oh, wow.
Dude, I was looking at like stuff for PC. I couldn't even access anything for RPC either. I mean, like this whole thing, like it's either private or just knocked out because of the fact that in favor of this protest.
Yeah, I just heard this from, Voice Critical. Like I saw his video about it on YouTube, and then I didn't know that it was a huge thing for Reddit because it's a big website itself. But seeing everybody going out like this, it's like, okay, well, this website is definitely going down after this protest is going on. So it's like, here's a huge statement that's going on for Reddit, and hopefully they understand that this whole charge thing isn't good for them.
The funny thing is that like even the CEO of Reddit, it's like 500 people that work at Reddit don't wear anything Reddit related just because in favor of the blackout, just in case that they don't physically harm people or like physically harm the people at Reddit. It's like, how do you know you're not one of like 5 billion people that use Reddit are just wearing like Reddit gear? I mean, like point of the matter is that the CEO is just being like completely not like greedy, but fucking like completely like out of bounds.
In this Engadget article that we're going to post on our show notes, the CEO is named Steve Huffman. He sent out a memo to staff saying Reddit would quote unquote get through it, while opinion that quote, like all blowups on Reddit, this one will pass as well. In a response to Huffman doubling down, a user wrote, "Let them fuck around and find out."
Like he just doesn't care.
He doesn't care because you know why? Because it doesn't matter. Because where's Reddit going? To IPO land. They're gonna make money. So hiking the API prices is gonna lead them to astronomical profits, which therefore makes it easier when they go public. And God knows what happens when Reddit goes public, kind of like how Facebook went public.
Oh God!
Yeah,
I mean, considering Reddit's already already a shitstorm in its own.
Yeah, but again, I still use Reddit, and we'll talk about Reddit in some of these other segments that we're doing, like for example, Anime Expo. Some of the news I learned was from Reddit. Some of the stuff we talk about Persona came from Reddit. By the way, Ryan, PC Master Race is up if you're looking for PC stuff.
I'll look into it later. Since I was just looking at some things for my custom water cooling yesterday, and that was down. So I was trying to make sure.
All I'm saying, though, is Fez, if you ever listen to us, go fuck yourself. That's his username.
Oh, Spaz. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or if you want to be our picks, it is now a place for images of John Oliver looking sexy.
What the?
Well, guess what? You know what? Guess what? He's going to get the attention. John Oliver. You know what John Oliver's going to see? Oh, this is an interesting story. They're playing.
He's going to put it on Last Week Tonight. Just watch. He's just going to put it on his like show.
I hope so.
He fucking tackled with AI images before, and he ended up marrying a cabbage. So if anything, it was a tough.
You know what? If Reddit somehow ends up on Last Week Tonight because probably. Of this, you know what?
It is I wouldn't likely. Mind,
but you know what? That's fucking Spez's fault. He can go fuck himself.
If anything, that's going to get him more popular, but then at the same time, it could also give him, like, it could also give be the downfall for him, too, because, like, John Oliver has a huge, like, following, so.
I love John Oliver.
he has a great show. It sucks that right now they're currently on writer's strike, so, like, they have no new episodes for a while, depending on, like, how the strike goes.
So, that's just a small look at what's happening in the tech world halfway through the year, and I'm gonna table the whole XQC $100 million kick deal, because that is something I want to look at again. Because last year, when we did the whole thing about Sykuno leaving Twitch for YouTube and Ludwig leaving for YouTube, we talked about like how state of streaming was then. And now I kind of want to talk about that again with this whole deal. And I'm also letting the deal cook a little, because there are some things I want to dig at when it comes to how and why XQC is getting paid $100 million to go to a rival site of Twitch. And I don't want to get into it now, because I can go on an entire fucking rant. And I might have done it before, but I will go through it again about what's being implied here. But for now, we'll talk about that, I think, probably sometime after Anime Expo, probably after our recap. Speaking of Anime Expo, we are now going to start off with going through all the announcements. And we're going to start with two Guest of Honor announcements. We have Granblue Fantasy General Director Tetsuya Fukuhara and Granblue Fantasy Relink Director Yasuyuki Kaji. So they're gonna be going to Anime Expo, and they're gonna be showing off the new Granblue Fantasy Relink and Granblue Fantasy Versus Rising.
Have you guys ever played Granblue Fantasy for a while? I mean, it's been a long time, right?
I did Versus.
Yeah. So it's I'm surprised Granblue Fantasy is coming back, but hey.
So next up, Anime Expo tweets. Watch this special music live by the Fukuen Bangaku Girls Musical Review. Only at the Apollo Virtual. Oh, okay. So this is another of the Apollo Virtual Stage.
Jun Bungaku, by the way.
And then there's another.
I don't know this group. So
yeah, there's another. Yeah, I know that's a hard one. And then there's another announcement for the Vapolo Virtual Stage. We talked about that in a previous episode, but we'll talk about it one more time as we get towards the more recent announcements for Anime Expo. Not spot V2 as well. Don't really care about free shipping. Don't care about that. One Piece is having a official Orca concert with a giant digital projection. They're going to be in Dallas, Texas on July 5th. And then in LA on July 15th.
So this is actually not at AX. It's just more towards like, hey, we're going to have a concert for that is about One Piece, except it's going to be in the later day instead of what's going on at Anime Expo.
Yeah.
Think of it like in the caliber of the Final Fantasy orchestral series, but with One Piece. And ooh. Exactly 10 days after AX is over.
Yeah.
Well, no, the 14th, but the 15th, but that's the day after. Okay, anyways.
It's going to be, so July 15th, it's a Saturday. It's at 8 p.m. over at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. As of right now, the cheapest tickets are $69 all the way in the back in the mezzanine. There are a couple of tickets available at the front for $149 or $89 if you want to be to the left or right. $149 for the center. And then there's couple at 89, couple at 69. So
I think that most of them have mostly been $69. The ones that are closest are $89. The orchestra center is $150, but yeah.
Okay, this doesn't really matter, but they got more rooms at the GW Marriott. Your reservation cutoff is the day that we record, so you're screwed. bad prices, you're screwed. Don't care, AX Light host. There's another retweet from Atlas West promoting the S&T 30th Live Bands of Shadows concert, and it promotes some people are going to be be performing, featuring Adriana Figueroa, Shota Nakama, and Masa Tolo. I don't know how I got that wrong, so you go ahead, automatically dispose. Yeah, just go dispose me.
Yeah, buzz him.
Thank you.
Masato Ito, but yeah, okay, cool. Good to know about that.
We'll come back to you, Crunchyroll.
Where's the rollout of announcements that they put? Holy moly.
There's convention maps for both the main convention as well as Kenta Hall. If you notice, some people did see this. Kenta Hall is being split into Mahoko, Kisugi, and Max. So if you're a booth person, I'm like, I'm at Max 21 or I'm at Mahoko 52. So I pray to God that you all can live through the weekend.
I feel bad for those that are going to be in the back. So Mahoko fans. Okay. Hopefully AC's cracked up.
Well, they're next to industry autographs, so they have to be.
They better be. But nonetheless,
Kenta Hall is a fucking sauna.
I don't know why they never like change up anything when it comes to the Kenta Hall, because it's just always stuffed. I mean, there are people that keep on reporting. Last year they reported like carbon dioxide levels are way through the roof. That is very unhealthy to walk around there. So
people pass out like in there like crazy. That's like the hazard.
That was a complaint that happened last year, and I'm just hoping that something changes. But look, it's AX. We don't know if they'll do that.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see what happens this year when it comes to Kenta Hall. But moving on. Speaking of halls. Anime Expo is proud to open Ichiban Market for attendees to get a taste of authentic Japanese market. Get transported to an immersive culinary and cultural experience that makes you feel like you're walking down the streets of Japan, but with California pricey, because it's going to be twice as much.
Yeah, that is true. And it's also, I really feel bad. Like, hopefully the vendors give up some good, like, cheap prices. Maybe for some, like, you know, pocket ramen for, like, maybe $5.
Welcome to Xflation.
Yeah, mint.
Okay. We'll get back to you, Crunchyroll. We'll get back to you. Pixiv, they're doing a whole bunch of stuff at Anime Expo, including Genshin Impact visuals and fan art. Because we need more fucking Genshin Impact shit.
Yeah.
You can also, we'll also be at AA01 so that you can redeem your Omikuji fortune slips for a prize and customize your own very iFace smartphone case. Limited supply, so come early. And then they have an announcement for some panels. What's the special guests that are doing stuff out there. I don't know. We talked about portfolio reviews, but former editor in chief of Shonen Jump, Hisaki Sasaki, is going to join their team of editors to review your portfolios at Anime Expo.
I mean, I guess it's for those that are like wanting to be part of the business, the manga business. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's good because like this is like the same thing that happens at San Diego Comic Con, where like people would like show their portfolios for comic books creators. So it's like running the same way where like people can like work in Viz and draw new manga.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real quick. See if you can try. I'm going to like give you a chance here. Take a shot at trying to announce who's going to the Pixiv industry panels.
Okay. So, there's one happening on July 2nd, so that's day two. It's called Rising Stars, Up and Coming Artists in Asia. And that is being hosted by Modare.
Wait, why didn't that go through? Hold on, sorry. technical difficulties, guys, sorry.
Okay, but he's right, actually. He said that right. There you go.
Woo-hoo! And then on day three, there's an interesting panel with empowering emerging and seasoned artists with special guest Oshio Shio.
Hey!
You got it right.
You got them right. Hey. You got both right.
Also, that's all the third, so that's actually day three of AX.
That's day three.
So,
speaking of Japanese brands, the fashion show has a whole bunch of hot brands coming in. We have AC/DC Rag, Candy Trap, Vienna the Valley, The Black Ribbon, and Forest Girl Clothing. So if you want to check out the best of J Fashion and Lolita and all that, they'll be out there at Anime Expo. And all the brands will have booths over at the NX. And then...
What's up, Anime Expo 2023? You think you have a part of it out, DJ Diesel? Say DJ Diesel Anime Expo 2023. They get them tickets now. I'm gonna tear the block down.
Yes, you heard that correctly. DJ Diesel, aka Shaq, aka Shaquille O'Neal, is going to Anime Expo and headlining Neon District.
Oh my god, this is crazy.
We never saw it coming.
We never saw it coming. That's the one point we're supposed to bring up. We never saw it coming. Holy shit.
Go. Dude.
I did not expect, out of all people, that...
Yeah, I totally didn't expect that.
Shaq is going to fucking AX.
Yeah, I know. That dude. I love that dude from the General Insurance commercials.
Oh, and also from, what was it, the... Oh, from Inside the NBA. Yeah, that's right. He's also in that show.
Basketball team called the Lakers, I think, right?
Yeah.
He played also for the Phoenix Suns, right? Yeah.
Post the Lakers and post Miami Heat, where he went on the championship with Dwayne Wade, and he went to go play with LeBron over in Cleveland for a little bit. But I put up this whole thing on Discord. It was like, Yoko Taro's like, I'm going to Anime Expo. Trash Chase by Joey, we're also going to Anime Expo. All of Trigger and Bones that are going, we're also going as well. Shaq, all of you, hold my 3 NBA championship trophies and my 3 finals MVPs with the Lakers.
Oh my god. But yeah, I mean, that was a surprise. I think out of nowhere that we expected DJ Shaq to actually be a part of Neon District. Now it's like, fuck. You can expect a lot of people now going to Neon District because of him.
Yeah, but, you know, like, we're talking about, like, the previous headliners, like, some of them dropped, actually.
Oh, yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, hold on, let me see if I can find the initial announcement about, Neon District. Hold on.
Just a quick question, guys, in theory, do you think, like, Shaq, or at least, like, I guess in this instance, Diesel actually knows much about anime or, like, anime music that he could actually, like, make a decent set list, or...
I don't know. If he's a DJ, then I would imagine he has some skills to play some music and, you know, bump
the
party up.
He's done Coachella, so, like, he's got skills, obviously, but, like...
I would imagine he could make some beats along with, like, some anime music that, you know, that people are gonna recommend him. So who knows, like, he could bring up like some really like hardcore anime music and just mix it up with some beats, you know, something like that.
Dude, Welcome to the Playhouse goes pretty hard.
I mean my thing right now is like when we go to Neon District and the set gets played and we get to see him perform, what anime music will he actually pop up? And that's what we are going to be like listening to, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So I did find the initial post about Neon District, and then I found, and then I posted a more recent one with Shaq announced. Looks like Ben Ye and Yuki got removed, and then Toriana got removed. Katori and Assertive are still there. Takahashi is still there. Softest Heart got added in. So I think some of them might have dropped. And then here comes Shaq to save the day.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'll spend some money to see Shaq.
Dude, yeah, mate, same here.
That's happening on day 3 at 8 p.m. over at the meet events. And it is a ticketed event. So in addition to buying... your AX ticket, you do have to buy a ticket for Neon District. But hey, if you're looking for something to do afterwards, after you're hungover and shit like that, you can go to the Undead Unluck Open Auditions held at the main events hall from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. hosted by Bangs Entertainment and TMS Entertainment. No experience necessary. So literally anyone can walk in and potentially win a role on Undead Unluck.
I mean, I need to see because like, these open auditions are more like, these are just like, I would assume like main character roles, right? Maybe background character roles.
I don't know.
They don't specify, but given the performance of how you're acting, could potentially lead to a potential lead role, a side character, or just for the love.
It said land a role. So I'm assuming a secondary character or a background character role, you know?
No, maybe like, Nate, you have to remember there are some major players that ended up winning these contests.
One person that come to mind would be Mendez, right? Because she started small and then she ended up becoming huge after that.
Well, you have to figure there's a lot of when AX Idol was a thing, that was like, there's a lot of actors or voice actor and actresses like one that made it into the industry that way. There's the one that did the open auditions at AX that way, and they made it into the industry that way as well. I mean, there's like, I know, for instance, like, was it Mario Bueno? Was it one of them? It was...
That was AX Idol.
How about Peymada? Peymada was one, right? Yeah, she was also in, what was it, AX Idol. Look at her now. She's also doing voice acting, too.
But no, Jericho's not wrong either. There was Alexa Buckland. There was Mendez. There was...
Christina V, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I was about to say Christina V was definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm. So it all depends on how your tryout is. So because it's open auditions, which means like anybody who wants to attend Anime Expo can try their best to, you know, be a voice actor in this anime series.
But of the like 100,000 people that are at AX per year, given that the one day that they're doing this, like depending on how many people audition, they go through all the different takes, or like they find like that one person on the spot, then yeah. Or they narrow it down, then eventually they have the people they want and potentially lead to that one role.
I just remember G used to actually try out here using this auditions, and he actually did end up going to the finals, but I don't think he ended up getting a role. So it's like you got to be really lucky with your talent, with your voice, in order for you to actually land a role in these animes.
Yeah, so that's happening, once again, that's happening on July 4th. That's the day 4, aka Tuesday. We got some V-Shoujo announcements. There's going to be a VTuber panel at Anime Expo. Join Haruka, Apricot, and Senria. For exciting discussion on their virtual journeys, gaming adventures, and interactions with the audience.
Wait, whoa. Why with the reject button there?
Zentreya.
That's what's the name. I thought you were denying V-Shoujo. I'm like, oh, hell no.
And then Anime Expo has decided to promote Monkey versus Gremlin.
Not again.
the C-Doc V8 Iron Mouse panel. So AX is really rolling on that differently. And then the last thing we're going to talk about is a LewTuber panel. And I said, all right, LewTuber.
Oh, here we go. Well, she's Bishojo too, also Project Melody. Yeah.
thirsty-ass motherfuckers.
Jesus,
hey!
What?
No.
She also is bringing her friends, Cottontail, Vex, yeah. Sun Eater, Yara, Naika, Vio. Oh my god!
you know, says the person who wants to watch jabs on his Apple Vision Pro. Moving on. So that is all we have from AX on Twitter. We're going to have to go off the cuff, though, for these next couple of talking points when it comes to Expo. And as I alluded to, I did skip over Crunchyroll for a very good reason, because they have announced a whole bunch of shit. They have 20 panels and premieres happening over the course of the weekend. And yes, they are bringing back their subscriber lounge in the GW Marriott's mixing room. Take advantage of anime-themed drinks for purchase, photo ops, free swag, and even an exclusive mixology experience for bartender that will be available from 11 to 11.
So it closed at 11 p.m.
Yes.
pretty much the majority of the convention, at least from
just a heads up, that's for anybody, right? So like anybody, that's like
Crunchyroll subscriber.
Yeah, so if you're a Crunchyroll subscriber, then just show that you're a subscriber, then you can just drink in the lounge.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm down with that.
There's a whole bunch of things they're giving away. They're doing more of the big bags, like the strap-on bags. This year, the Bunko Stray Dogs and Solo Leveling.
Actually, yeah, that's correct. I thought there were actually more animes besides those two.
AX is also doing a Crunchyroll Code Quest where you have to gather clues. So you have to gather hints and clues given out specifically throughout the day at the Crunchyroll stage. And you can win event and booth experiences, premium merch, free subscriptions, or even a PlayStation 5. Woo!
That's the folks who have PS5s.
Here, this one's for Matt.
All right, here we go. Here's everything Crunchyroll is doing at Anime Expo. Starting on Saturday at 3 p.m., we have the MAPPA panel. The CEO, producer of MAPPA, will discuss behind the scenes of some up-and-coming anime titles. This is their first overseas face-to-face event for MAPPA's first original movie.
Interesting. Okay.
Not to be outdone, later on, the Studio Kafka X, the Ancient Magic Bride Season 2. So you get to meet the main staff for that signature title. On 5 p.m. over the main events hall, there's going to be a Spy Family panel featuring Takuya Eguchi. He's the Japanese voice of Lloyd Forger. On the same day at 7 p.m. Over room 403, this is at the LA Convention Center. They're doing a whole bunch of rounds of simulcast, so this is the first round. You'll be able to watch episode 1 of Sweet Reincarnation, episode 1 of Malvariant Spirits Monogatari Core 2, and the first episode of Matsumu Kun's Revenge R.
Mm.
So that's everything happening on day 1. Day 2, there's going to be a MAPPA X Crunchyroll panel. Join MAPPA's production staff for behind-the-scenes discussion of some Studio MAPPA's popular titles in collaboration with Crunchyroll.
So this is just a collaboration with Crunchyroll in this one, not the whole panel itself. So, yes. Okay.
Yes, and then at 1 p.m. over at the GW Marriott for the Crunchyroll stage, there's going to be the Art Medium of Storytelling. And this is where Yokotaro, Asushi Okubo, Hiroyuki Seshita and Jin are going to be talking about the art of storytelling in the various mediums in which these stories tell the masses. And they're also going to show off Kami Ebi, the God app, and many more. And then, if you wanted to follow up that, we have the Studio Bones 25th Anniversary panel featuring guest Masahiko Minami and Toshishiro Kawamoto, and there may be a surprise.
Yeah, the whole surprise part is triggering me, and I'm like, "What surprise? Are you bringing up a new anime? Or are you redoing another anime?"
Yeah, they're, like I said, they're gonna reboot My Hero Academia.
No, if they announce a Soul Eater reboot, I'm freaking gonna be excited about it.
It could be Soul Eater reboot.
All the hype. It was Soul Eater.
Oh,
hell yeah. I swear to God, if they do it, like, cause you did it with what was it, Fullmetal Alchemist? You will do if you do it with Soul Eater, then I'll definitely down. Oh my God!
Right after that, there's going to be a Jujutsu Kaisen panel created by Crunchyroll, and then not to be outdone, after that, there's going to be a world premiere of Bunko Stray Dogs Season 5, and then I decided to piss Jericho off. 5:30 p.m. at the Crunchyroll stage at JW Marriott, Mushoku Tensei, Jobless Reincarnation Season 2 North American Premiere.
Where do I go? Who do I choose?
It's at the same time, isn't it? Or
it's about looks like maybe it could be like an hour long panel and then like a half hour gap and then it's like whatever long it takes for the premiere of Jobless Reincarnation.
Mm.
And then at 6 p.m. over at the Grammy Museum Terrace, that's the One Piece episode 1000 dub world premiere. We talked about that. And then to finish off day two over at the Crunchyroll Stage of JW, they're going to do a Link Click Season 2 premiere.
Okay, so one thing that shocks me is the fact that the whole episode of the whole third episode dub for One Piece is going to be shown literally in the middle of LA Live. Is that right?
Not in the middle of LA Live. Okay, so you have Convention Center, there's Crypto.com Arena, and then like right next to the arena as you're walking, you're gonna like up Figueroa on the path to, on the pathway on the side of Crypto.com Arena. You just pass it up a little bit. There's the Grammy Museum right there.
Okay, so I mean that's so the whole it's a museum itself. It's just a museum, right?
Standard-wise, yes, but in this grand kind of celebration of what that is, One Piece's 1,000th dubbed episode. This is going to be a pretty big occasion, not to mention being held at a pretty iconic location.
Right. Wow, that's surprising that they ever get that they were able to actually get I'm surprised that Crunchyroll was able to actually get a big like museum for the Grammy Museum, for example, to actually showcase the 1,000th episode. Okay. Crunchyroll going all out here.
You gotta remember, we talked about this previously, it's a 4-hour affair, because not only there's the showing, but there's also live drawing, Q&A, there's autograph sessions with the animators, dub actors, and fan experiences. So it's a whole experience for all One Piece fans.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, That's all day two. So day three, we're going to get more simulcast premieres. The first batch is at 12 p.m. over at the Diamond Ballroom at the GW Marriott. This is round two. You're going to get the first episode of Rising of Shield Hero Season 3. That's a world premiere.
World premiere.
You should put that Xbox sound
here.
One on Game Pass.
I will. Boom.
We're gonna get to it. Just hold on.
Speaking of premieres, they're also gonna show off MF Ghost. This is the predecessor to Initial D. But instead of actual racing, it's all virtual. And then instead of the eight, the original eight, it's the newer 8.6.
Nothing wrong with the 2022-2023
Nothing's wrong with it. No, of course not. We're also gonna get episode one of My Unique Skill Makes Me OP Even at Level 1. Is that another fucking isekai?
Sounds like it. Yeah. Sounds like it.
Remember, it has a long ass title. That's probably an isekai.
Round three is happening at 2 p.m. in the same spot. You're getting the world premiere of Sugar Apple Fairy Tale Season 2, Episode 1.
World premiere.
That's still going on? What?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And then Akaya, Episode 1 and 2.
Ayaka,
okay. At 3:30 p.m. over at the Petrie Hall, there's an industry panel. That's just industry panel. At 5 p.m. over at the LA Convention Center, room 403, Crunchyroll presents Undead Murder Farce, world premiere.
World premiere.
Not to be outdone, after that, they're going to show off Gridman Universe over at the GW Diamond Ballroom at 6 p.m. And then to round things off, we're going to get more simulcasts at 6:30 p.m. over at the LA Convention Center, room 403. This is round four. You're going to get the first episode of Saint Cecilia and Pastor Lawrence. First episode of I Shall Survive Using Potions. Sounds like another fucking isekai. And then episode one of Firefire Daigo, Rescuer in Ore. And then we get to the final day, but we're not done yet, boys. We got some surprises coming through. First thing we're going to have at room 408 over at the LA Convention Center. This is 10:30 a.m. We're having a Horror Mia and the Missing Pieces panel by Crunchyroll and Aniplex. So this is the anticipated second season of Horror Mia. Not to be outdone, over at room 403, we're getting a U.S. premiere of Free the Final Stroke Part 2.
Yeah, it's free. I haven't seen this. I haven't seen this group of boys in so long. Yeah, let's go swimming, anime boys.
Formally, or actually, like, should I use the slang terminology? Because instead of the fact it's kind of canon, swimming homos.
You motherfucker! I mean, to be. You're not wrong. It's for real, though. It is. It is real, though. I kind of do want to see how this ends, though, because I was a fan. I was a fan of Free until that fact they finally started to end it. So I was like, cool. Now I can actually see how this all goes in.
Have you even seen part one yet?
Nope. So I'm watching that before part two.
This is part two.
I know. I was watching part one before part two. Yeah, but yeah.
I have one big question to ask. Do you swim free?
I do, sir.
Nate, do you swim free or die hard?
Oh my god. You remember to that movie now? Shit, oh my god.
Swim free or die hard, featuring Haruka and
featuring Bruce Willis.
God damn it.
Shut the fuck up.
Speaking of train wrecks that potentially may be, we're going to get the final round of simulcast. This is round 5. This is at 1:45 p.m. over at the LA Capital Center, room 403. Headlined by Rent-A Girlfriend Season 3, yeah. Episodes 1 and 2.
Just please tell me this Season 3 is going to be good, okay? I know Season 2 was a mess.
All I got to keep saying is no mommy's way.
Fuck mommy. Where's my Ruka fan? Where's the Ruka fans at?
Give me Ruka. Oh my god. Mommy.
Oh, fuck mommy.
It's still funny because the fact that we interviewed mommy and freaking Kimori like 2 years back.
And here's the thing. Mimi's coming in finally. So here come all the Mimi fans out of the woodworks. Like,
oh god. Oh, another one? Oh no.
Yeah. And then I'm in love with the villainous episodes 1 and 2. And then there's one more panel after that, over at 3 p.m. over at the LA Convention Center in 404. This is Anime Latin America 101, powered by... So they're going to talk about a deep dive into Latin America's history with anime and how that's expanding in that market. So that is all what Crunchyroll is doing. And we'll post this in our show notes, because there's a whole lot.
There's a lot, for sure. But and I have a... I would imagine like most of the UAX attendees are going to definitely attend maybe like one or two, maybe more than that for all the Crunchyroll fans out there. But at least you guys have that whole lounge area you guys can like sit back and have a drink with.
I thought I was kind of a Jericho in his shoes in this boat, even though I'm not really going to be able to attend this year. There's way too much to do. I don't know what to do.
Well, we're not done yet because. Yeah, it keeps going, and there's more bombshells, because off the cuff, we're going to get a look at the Love Live Squad Festival 2 Miracle Live. It's going to come to Anime Expo, you'll be able to play it throughout the convention, and then they're doing a whole bunch of stuff. There's a campaign where you can follow the pages on TikTok, Facebook, and Twitter. You can get a postcard, and then... And then for campaign 2, it says, achieve a full combo on Master Song level 12, We Will by Layla, to receive goods from the SIF Thanksgiving Festival while stocks last every day.
Good luck with that, because Master level is really hard.
you have to get a full combo on that shit? Yeah, forget it.
Yeah, it's like, what, 600, 700 notes in order... Oh, 700 buttons in order for you to press. So you gotta have a lot of slides. You gotta have, like, tons of pressing. I don't know if anybody can do that. Hey, congrats to y'all, but I'm not that guy.
Well, there are two tweets I want to point out. The responders that is like, full combo on a swingy song on a demo tablet, SIF2 global launch. So most people won't have any practice. I don't think you're going to worry about running out of stock. And then Shiny Nico-san goes, I can't wait to try it in FC, we will. And then use the build where swing notes are screwed up and it lags.
Wait, if you're saying that they can't get it, then I might get it.
Nate, don't push your luck again. This is gonna be like beta firmware. Like I'm kind of with the guys on the comments.
Oh, I was talking about the goods. not the game. No, the game's not coming out until probably like a couple of other months.
Probably not. And then where's the announcement? That hold on, let me see if I can find this one. We posted it on our own Discord. I have so many fucking announcements that we've made. Okay, so on day one of Anime Expo, 12:30 p.m. over at the LA Convention Center room, panel room 408, There's going to be a Love Live Squad Festival 2 Miracle Live Geo Virtual Special Event at Anime Expo 2023. And it's going to have the same three people that we mentioned previously, the voices of Yohane, Kasumi, and Kanon. They're all going to go be at that panel. And potentially, we could get a English date or a global date.
I have an assumption that they were probably going to have a date by then. And I'm assuming it'll be a couple months. So, but still, you have Yoshiko there. Ah, one of my favorite idols.
Speaking of goods, I don't know that you mentioned this. You shared this with me. Bushiroad has announced their stuff that they're selling for Anime Expo. They're selling stuff from Bang Dream, Catfight Vanguard, Y Schwartz, Hololive, Shadowverse, Evolve, and D4D. So Dig Delight, Direct Drive DJ. And then the big thing that was announced through this is that they are the official suppliers of the Hololive English First concert. So they're selling all the merch for the concert, which, by the way, that concert is happening on day two, I believe. It was Sunday. It's nowhere near LA. It's going to be over at the YouTube Theater, aka where SoFi Stadium's, aka right next to the airport. Actually, more across the way from the airport, across the 405.
Middle fucking Inglewood.
Inglewood, yes.
I don't have any tickets for that, but at least we are suppliers of all the stuff. Can I get one of those random... Oh, I'm going to talk to them. Can I get one of those cards of random buttons, please?
Oh, hit me up, huh?
Yeah. Hey, which one do you want? We'll talk
about that next week when we get to our preview. And it's headlined by the Essentials Pack. It's sold in large, extra large, and 2XL because for the low price of $145, you get a t-shirt, you get a light pen, you get a concert towel with a PVC pouch, and you get a poster.
All for that price. Actually, that's not bad.
Other things to note from the Hololive line, they're selling rubber mats. There are 54 designs, and they're selling for $40.
$40? And you can pick any one of your Hololive characters? Oh my god. That's not bad either, $40 for just one of those mats.
I'm noticing here that there's a whole... They're selling all the Mori CDs, so Shin Megami no... Ooh, 62 for the limited edition box set? Ooh. Or if you...
Well, the CD itself is only $25, but...
Or if you want to splurge on the Blu-rays, it's 110. God damn, 110?
Ooh, fuck! Yeah. Damn, Yagu!
Also to note, the Bang Dream Hoppies, their 7 designs, they're priced at $100 a pop. Catfight Vanguard baseball shirts, they're being priced at $65. They're selling a whole bunch of Weiss Schwartz. They're gonna do a pre-sale on the Hololive booster packs. There's a premium booster, and then the Avatar packs. So Avatar
the Last. Yes. Pack. Oh my god, the Avatar packs. Oof. I mean, it's out today, by the way. As we're recording, Avatar the Last Airbender Weiss Schwartz packs are out right now, but then. They do have some in supply for those who want to, you know, play in them.
And then if you spend $60 or more, you get a Bushiroad On The Road 2023 shopping bag. It has, like, the main logo on the front, and then the back it has the Shadowverse Evolve.
That's because Shadowverse is the next project for Bushiroad when it comes to TCG games. So that's why they're promoting the heck out of it right now.
Speaking of the Hololive concert, there is ironically a Reddit post that I found on our Hololive, and essentially they're gonna try to do the same thing that Love Live fans did a while back when Love Live was in LA. Essentially, it's during a certain part of the song we're gonna light up in all the colors. That's what it is, and they're gonna light up all according to their. Like the color of like the VTuber, so we'll post a link to the Reddit post. But it's like if you're in this row, you put your pen out for Kali. But if you're in this part, you put it for Kiara. And then if you're here, you put it for Fauna. If you're here, put it for Guarguda. And then if you're here, you put it up for these nuts.
These nuts.
The fuck.
Got him.
Gotti! Gotti!
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
So that'd be cool to see, because like I remember, I think it was like the AX Love Live ones. Those were awesome as fuck. So yeah, check that out, if you are going, and more importantly, if you do buy a light pen from Hololive,
$40 for a light pen. That's not bad.
Good smile. They've announced some stuff, but not everything.
I just got the email for their, where they're going to have at AX, so they have posted that menu at the very least.
Yeah, I believe Nate got the email too as well. But yeah, some of the headlines is all of the Snow Miku merchandise, the AX exclusives for Hinata and Kotaro from Haikyuu. There's this really cute Hello Good Smile Rei Ayanami long hair version for Totodanine, whole bunch of Figmas, and so that is just what they're that's just like the first wave. I'm waiting to see what the hell is they bring to Expo in terms of non-exclusives, but like I want to buy new from Good Smile.
You just gotta wait till like next week, because I'm assuming that they're gonna put out all the big guns when it comes to the
and
shop.
And that's the problem, is I hate doing that during our AX preview. Is like, hey, let's look at everything that Good Smile is doing. That's what we did last year for the AX preview podcast. It's like, we spent 30 minutes on fucking Good Smile.
Right. It's part for the course for us, guys. Yeah. It's like, we just, like, I hate to say it, but we need to, like...
Have you ever considered not being a simp?
For Good Smile Company.
Well, we're going to simp a little bit more for Good Smile, because they've also announced their entertainment hall stuff. They're doing stickers with surveys. There's some gacha prizes, and you can also create your own Good Smile Racing tee. So iron on or like the press one. That'd be kind of cool.
That'd be cool.
And then finally, I do want to announce some of the stuff that's happening outside of Anime Expo. That's not the Hololive concert. On Saturday, over at 8 p.m. over at the Belasco, it is the Senpai Squad presents Fire and Ice 2023.
Senpai Squad party, here we go again!
Yeah, so tickets are as low as $32.50 for general admission, but if you want to be in a certain section, like a balcony table, it is $72.50 a piece.
I have always wanted a barge, like a club table. That sounds cool.
And on the next night, at 9 p.m., there is the Cosplay Deviants 21 after party. Sorry, 21 and over after party. Sponsored by Cardiga Games, Swaps 4, Bad Dragon, Anime Los Angeles, and Tentacle Grape.
Ayo!
Hey!
You know that cosplay, when it comes to the Cosplay Deviants, you know they would have brands like Red Dragon and ALA come over and...
Bad Dragon, baby!
Bad Dragon!
tickets right now are $27.50 early bird. Let's see. Buy now, pay later. Split the tickets in four with no interest financing, or can I pay six at 12 months? No, I'm just joking. I don't think even an option is like pay in four. It's like, it's $27 per ticket. But yeah, that is everything with Anime Expo. That is probably the tip of the iceberg. So when we get to our preview next week, there's going to probably be a lot more. Then we'll talk about what Atlas is bringing. We'll talk about what Good Smile's company. We have to mention what Bandai Namco is doing. We haven't mentioned anything, mentioned them outside of the Love Live V8 stuff that we talked about this past previous podcast or previous before. So I'm hoping they drop their list too, because that's where all the Love Live shit's going. And probably Nate's looking forward to, if anything, what they're selling for Love Life at this year's.
Yep.
Especially the fact that it's the whole big, we have people here from Love Life.
I mean, you have Yoshiko coming in, and of course she's going to promote the brand new anime that's coming out this summer. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of like Love Life stuff here and there when it comes to like all the things from Aqua Wars to Layla. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. That's going to be our big thing next week. But in the meantime, we're gonna move up the way from LA. Actually, we don't really go that far anyway. And we're gonna talk about everything else that happened over at Summer Game Fest. And before we go into Xbox, do you guys want to talk about anything that we saw from Ubisoft, Capcom, the PC Gaming Show, the Wholesome Direct, anything, even the Final Fantasy 15, sorry, the Final Fantasy 16 pre-launch celebration that happened last Sunday. You guys want to talk about anything that caught your eye there?
I mean, we pretty much covered most of Sony's State of Play in the last episode. Too much to really cover there. Capcom, I kind of like the direction they're going, especially now that it is the 30th year or 40th year. That would be the 40th.
It's the 40th.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Personally,
40th year anniversary.
Personally, that show sucked.
So you said the PC. You said like Capcom and PC's showcase was a complete dud. It sucked. I have one word for you, Matt. Objection! The fact that we're getting the Apollo Ace Attorney collection that has the games that were just recently delisted from the 3DS. We get Apollo Justice, we get Spirit of Justice, and of course we get Dual Destinies. Dual Destinies and Spirit of Justice being delisted from the 3DS marketplace, no longer available to get it. Now we're getting a full collection of it in full remastered HD on all platforms. That's a win in my book. Ghost Trick, I thoroughly enjoyed the demo of. I actually enjoyed the game on the DS when I had it. The fact that they're getting more of a showcase of that. And the fact that, Mega Man X Dive, I've heard really negative things about, so I'm not really going to... I love Mega Man, but just no. That's pretty much my two cents on that. But definitely the Capcom showcase was not terrible, but yet they're also remember... We have a lot of bombshells that came out from Capcom in the last year, being Resident Evil Village. We have Resident Evil 4. Just kind of take that with a grain of salt. I mean, sure, we don't have a lot from Capcom, but give them a break. Cut them a little bit of slack, you know, Matt?
All I have to say is, I'm sorry.
What?
Pragmata.
Oh.
It's like we built an excuse. We delayed the game already, but look, we have footage.
Could be worse. Could be Mecha Ryu and Exo Primal. It could have been more of a sleeper. We've seen worse.
Yeah, like Ubisoft, for example. Ubisoft was a goddamn sleeper. I mean,
I think it's fucking hilarious they're doing another Prince of Persia IP, but they still can't do the fucking Sands of Time and get that fucking out already. It's like, we've been waiting a year and a half for that remaster to come out, and it's still not out. At this point, I'm not going to be surprised if they finish this new IP and just say, oh, hey, since you're going to be buying the game, here's the remaster for free, or at least part is a deluxe edition for buying the new Prince of Persia game. Like, that's my guess.
The only thing I really liked from Ubisoft is the crew. Because
the new crew game looks really good.
It really looks good. And to be very fair, it does look like a ripoff of Forza Horizon and the whole festival scene. But I think I was on Reddit and I was reading some of the people that played the beta version, and they say there's more grip on the cars this time around. And it was a whole lot better than it was, and it feels more like you're playing like a more legit racing game, but there were some really good moments within that trailer for the crew when the guy is going through. Showing off parts of the game. It was like, here you can race these cars or something like this, and then he showed off all of like the Japanese cars. He goes Japanese style, and I'm like, the fuck,
okay. Japanese style, Japanese style.
Ubisoft, please just retire the Tom Clancy name. Please just, Mr. Clancy just does not,
let it go.
Just let it go. He's been dead. You don't need to put his name on it anymore. Just please let him go. I just remember all the good times when the original Rainbow Six came out and like, oh my God, it's the best shit ever. And now it's like,
Extinction was like a complete fucking disaster. Now we have the Division going to mobile. How much of a shit show that might be. I mean, they're doing a beta of it, or at least they're allowing you to sign up early. That way you get like early rewards, and depending on how many people download the game, get even more benefits. But it's on mobile. Does the Division really going to be running that well on mobile?
I don't. Like,
hypothetically?
My fear is that at some point Ubisoft, I believe, is going to try to do a relaunch or a third game to Rainbow Six Vegas. I just feel like they're going to try to do it to bring it back. It's like, no, do not revive the Vegas name. Just let it go.
Do not resuscitate. Do not resuscitate. Let it go.
I feel bad because we're supposed to get a new Splinter Cell sometime soon. That's going to have the Tom Clancy name attached to it. So it's kind of like...
Sam Fisher needs a return, but we need a proper like Splinter Cell game, not like the ones that we got in the last couple games, because it's just not the same.
Yeah,
it's definitely not the same.
I watched the majority of the Final Fantasy 16 pre-launch celebration. That actually was pretty cool, because there were a couple of like really good modes, but also like a lot of like, God damn it, you're fucking Square Enix, get your shit together. Because one of the things they did was they did like a exhibition where it was like they showed off like all of, like the new shit you can do with like with your character. And the best part is they had Maximilian Dune on it. And basically it was like, okay, I'm going to go after like this S rank creature and shit like that. And he lost. And then one of the producers went up and they beat the everlasting shit out of it.
I would love to know if Suzuki-san possibly take the... Can you show me a thing or two? Is it possible we can get developers to at least... I'd love to see how they play it differently than me.
So it's kind of cool to see the gameplay that I saw from 16. Like, damn, that actually looks good. It actually looks like I actually want to play it. But throughout this stream, what they did was they had a whole bunch of setups, and those setups had streams on it. So essentially, you could log on to your own Twitch account and actually stream yourself playing the demo of Final Fantasy 16, which is already out ahead of its June 20th release. So we're almost there to the release of Final Fantasy 16. But there was a part where they were showing the stream, and at the same time, you would hear like the background audio. So it's kind of like you're hearing like three things all at once. So it's like, oh God, what the fuck? And so it's kind of like that. So I'm like, what the fuck, Screen? Get your shit together.
Found the Imperial Garrison right where the boilers left.
So these are what the items look like.
So we mentioned Final Fantasy, Ubisoft, Capcom. Nothing really from PC Gamer caught my eye. Nothing from the Wholesome Direct. God damn it. So I think finally we can get to the big motherfucker, the Xbox Game Showcase at Starfield Direct.
Yeah, Starfield! Woo!
We'll talk about Starfield. I think we're going to end with Starfield the way we began this conversation last year. Sorry, the way we ended this time. We talked about the Xbox last year with Starfield. But I'm going to go in order and just kind of like recap some of the games they showed. So they showed off Fable.
World premiere.
Day one on Game Pass.
That game on Game Pass. And then they showed off a game called South of Midnight.
World premiere.
That's also coming on Game Pass. Then we got the Ubisoft first look from Ubisoft's Star Wars Outlaws.
World premiere.
Wow. Fable, South of Midnight, Star Wars Outlaws. Welcome to our first ever double feature, the Xbox Game Showcase, followed by a deep dive into one of the most important RPGs ever made, Starfield.
And then we got 33 Immortals.
World premiere.
It looks like Hades, but it's multiplayer. You can play up to 33 people. And then we got a shocker, realized that, hey, Payday is having a third game. That's coming out September 21st, and that is also on Game Pass.
FYI, guys, if you guys still haven't picked up Payday 2, it's still free on the Epic Game Store in celebration, or at least in collaboration with 3 coming out soon. So if you haven't downloaded it, I think by the end of this week, probably by the time this episode goes off, down, it's probably donezo, but download it while you can.
We'll come back to you. Next up, we also have Evolved. That's coming out of 2024. There's a new Sea of Thieves expansion with Return to Monkey Island. And then we got a world premiere.
World premiere.
Flight Simulator 2024, featuring a whole bunch of missions. And I'm like, oh boy, it's actually looking damn good. And then we got a bigger shocker that they're teaming up with Dune to release the stuff that is featured in that movie in Microsoft Flight Simulator. And that's coming out in November of this year. Then we got a look at Hellblade 2, Setsuna Saga. I will say that looks a whole lot better than it was when we first saw it at last year's Xbox Game Showcase.
It's definitely looking a lot better from what we saw. And not to mention, like, it's definitely a step up from Senua's Sacrifice for the very first game. So yeah. I'm hyped for the game. I am hella hyped for that game.
That is also coming out day one on Game Pass. We then got our first look at Yakuza Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth. Looks like we're going to Hawaii, boys. Naked.
World premiere.
World premiere. I think everybody was like beaming the heck out of like the video because, yeah, he's naked on the beach and everybody
it's the traditional anime stereotype where it's like they just pick up one thing and another thing's blocking the
drink. Yeah, exactly. Like something is blocking it. It's like, oh, she's picking up the drink. Oh, wait, got blocked by sunblock.
Then something else gets picked up. We have another angle and then he's playing blocked by
somebody,
something else.
And then
else.
somebody just points him out and then now he's like, oh god, I'm naked. Ah, now he just covers his privates. Oh my god. I found it really funny how they just like unveil that trailer for Like a Dragon.
So technically speaking, does that mean 7 and 8 are coming like almost consecutively, like right next to each other? Like, well, does it count as 7 and 8? I know one of them is being dubbed as 8.
There's The Man with No Name. When is that coming out? Did we get a release date from the Man with No Name?
I don't believe we did. Let me just do a cross reference real quick.
Yeah, that was during the Jeff Keighley Jerk Off Fest, the Xbox, the Summer Games Fest.
The Summer Games Fest presentation.
Cross referencing Jane Steam. Let's see what
you know. It's funny. It's like I keep saying Summer Games Fest. It's Summer Game Fest. I don't know why I just keep saying games because it just sounds better off that I say games.
So, according to Like a Dragon, the Man Who Erased His Name, that's November 8th. Now, okay. As far as the other Yakuza game,
Infinite, well, that's coming out 2024.
So then it'd be Man Who Erased His Name would be 7, and then I'm guessing we're going into 8 for Infinite Wealth, was it?
Infinite Wealth, yes.
Infinite Wealth, got it.
After that, we got an announcement from Fallout 76. We're going to New Vegas. Oh, no, we're not.
Aww.
But we're going to the second best thing, Atlantic City. So, essentially...
This is the perfect expansion for you, Matt. Perfect.
I was thinking, like, people still play Fallout 76, even if it, like, started terribly.
Okay, look, you gotta look at it from this perspective. Like, yeah, it was a shit show at launch, but it has enough of a fan base to where it got better. It's actually a decent game. Look at the likes of No Man's Sky. Look at the likes of, I guess, Cyberpunk in this instance. Now that they, oh wait, that's coming out soon. Hold on, I'll hold off on that one.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit.
But yeah, in that instance,
yes. After that, we got our first look at Capcom's Path of the Goddess. This is a subtitle next to it. Then we finally got a look at the new Forza Motorsport, which is having a collaboration with Cadillac and Chevrolet.
Chevy?
Yes.
Yep.
More importantly, we finally got a release date for that. That is coming out October 10th. That was a date I knew, Ryan, going into last week's podcast. But because I learned that through a leak. I was like, I don't want to know that. So now we know it's coming out on October. So we don't have that long for Forza Motorsport.
I'm just really glad you kept your mouth shut, because I really wouldn't want to have known when it was coming out until I actually saw that trailer.
Of course, you can play it day one on Game Pass. You know, see else you can play on Game Pass? The new Elder Scrolls Online Necrom. Shadows over Morrowind, because who the fuck is still playing Elder Scrolls Online?
Yeah, so surprisingly, like, Fallout 76 is still a decently, like, populated MMORPG, but
Yeah.
It's still
a little lackluster, but, I mean, I get it that they're trying to come back. It's not as big of a comeback like No Man's Sky, but still, Fallout 76 does have a decent fan base. It's not like as, you know, not as disastrous as before.
Yeah. And then Overwatch 2 somehow still exists, and we're getting the single player PvP.
So everything.
No,
that
wait! There was no PvE. There was no PvE.
I know there is.
Oh my god!
So after the controversy, they said, "Oh, we're not going to do it," and then everyone up in arms again. It's like, oh, well, now we're going to just change our mind and let you guys know on Xbox. Like, yeah, we're doing it again.
I was like, what the fuck? Now we can actually say it. Okay, cool.
You know what's funny? I just realized that last year, when Persona got announced, I was going to mention this earlier, but I'll mention this now. Last year, it was... God, what was that game that came out? The Chinese game. Fuck, what's that called?
X?
No, fuck. It's a long-ass title. Something. But after that... It, huh?
You said something. I had to say the Dark Side joke.
No, it's not the Dark. God damn it. but after that, it was the announcement of the Persona games on Xbox, Royal, Portable, and Golden. And then it was
Hideo
Kojima. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Go ahead.
And then it was Hideo Kojima coming out and saying, I'm making a game for Xbox because of the cloud. That's all he said. And then he decided to get his dick sucked not only by Jeff Keighley and by Microsoft, but now Tim Cook from Apple has sucked Hideo Kojima's dick because now they're putting fucking Death Stranding on Mac.
Oh, wow.
And then we ended with Starfield. After the Overwatch 2, now we're going back to the most recent showcase, we get the Persona 5 Tactica trailer, and then we get the Starfield trailer. So you go from Persona XCOM to literal fucking XCOM because you're playing in outer space with Starfield. And we'll talk about Starfield towards the very end, because there is a lot I want to talk about when it comes to Starfield. After that, we're getting a game called Jusant. We're also getting a game called Still Wakes in the Deep that's coming in 2024, also on Game Pass. We're also getting Dungeons of Hinterberg. That's 2024. That's coming out on Game Pass. Then, as Ryan alluded, they did show off Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty. Here comes Keanu Reeves to talk about the game.
Hi. I'm very excited to be returning as Johnny Silverhand in the upcoming expansion for Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty.
And I don't know, for some reason, I don't know that looked fucking CGI. Because it's like, his face was so goddamn shiny. It's like, are you sure it's only you, Keanu Reeves?
Oh, don't play dumb. God damn it. I love the fact that he presented this part for Cyberpunk. I thought that was pretty cool.
So I think the bigger announcement is that we finally got a release date for this game. 9/26 or September 26th of this year. So Sorry, the last part of this year when it comes to gaming is going to be stacked. Because right after that, I'm watching this trailer and it goes every road. I'm like, no, no, please do not tell me. And it keeps going. And yes, for some reason, I'm more excited for City Skylines 2 than Persona 3 Reload.
Is this for like, is this supposed to be like City Simulator or something?
Yes, it's like SimCity, but it's better.
Oh, shoot. Okay. All right.
And this is coming October 24th. So I'm like, yes, we have a release date for this game. And I'm not playing through games. I'm buying it through Steam because fuck you. I need my mods.
No!
After that, and then right after City Skylines, we found out that Project Reef Fantasy is not dead.
I just called it, oh, is it Medieval Persona? Because it really didn't look like it.
So this is from Studio Zero, aka like the old school Persona devs, and this game is called Metaphor ReFantasio. It's coming out in 2024. I don't know if it's been confirmed yet on the multiplats. We'll talk about that in a moment. But so far at the Xbox showcase, it's shown for the Xbox and for Windows. But yeah, Project Reef Fantasy is not dead, and it actually looks all right.
Looks fucking legit. Not gonna lie, it does look pretty cool.
Then we got a look at Tower Board that's coming to Game Pass. So we got this game called Clockwork Revolution, and I love the part where it's like, it's coming in due time. Like, what the fuck that's supposed to be? And of course, it's coming out day one on Game Pass.
it doesn't even tell you if it's 2024. It just tells you due time. I'm like, okay, fine. You're making it, but I guess what? The end of 2024 now?
The showcase itself was only about an hour long because the next hour or so is all Starfield, but we'll get back to Starfield towards the very end. The last thing they did show off is that they're coming out with a black Series X with 1 terabyte of SSD storage for the same price as the current model. Did I get that wrong?
I hate to break it to you. It's the Series S and they're raising it $50.
Oh shit! Okay. I read that completely fucking.
Aw, dang it! Oh man, yeah, still pay extra for a black version of the Xbox Series S. God damn it!
I guess it's Batman's Series S because, you know, as the major question goes, does it come in black?
My God!
And now I'm staring at Todd Howard. So we'll get back to you, Mr. Howard. We're gonna talk about Persona next.
It just works.
All right.
Jeez, like only the first thing that was announced during the entire showcase.
Well, it was right after Payday. So it's kind of like, because a lot of people were like, oh my God, it's Payday. Like, oh shit, here comes Persona. All right. So everyone has seen the trailer, right? Everyone's seen it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So, so pull up the trailer once again, guys. For this, we're going to use the Japanese one. We're going to slow it down to 0.25, and then we're going to go to 20 seconds to when it fades in to where Makoto's running through the school, right? Are we there?
Wait, hold on.
You're taking way too long, so I'm going to go ahead. So I'm going to play it from 18. You see, I guess his face, so we're going to zoom in. So now we're going to see Makoto running through the school. We're going to pause it here, all right? You see the bathroom, right? On the left hand, on the right hand side? You got a hands there. And it hands a little bit more, right? And it says, suck on these nuts, bitch!
Ha! Got it!
Oh my God. Wow. Shut up.
Okay, but you have to admit, though.
Technical difficulties.
Okay.
Christ. Enough of the jokes already. Jesus Christ, man. Get on with it.
You know it's not a joke. Yukari Takiba in an apron.
Pretty good, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good. So you might have seen the English version out on social media, and that was the one that was shown at the Xbox Direct. There actually is a Japanese one we're going to post in our show notes. And yes, this does confirm that it's coming not only on Game Pass... and on the Xbox, as well as Xbox One, really? And on Windows, is also coming out on PS5, PS4, and on Steam. We'll get back to you second in a moment, Switch, because there's something missing. So, actually, if you watch the Japanese trailer, there is a different montage of Tartarus. It actually shows them on a lower floor, and you can see like a staircase, and there's like different animations. I have to admit though, if you look at some of the screenshots, I just realized there's like lighting on the floor, like the windows is emitting the light onto like what the fuck? What? I just realized this now. Did you guys notice that through the trailers?
Are you playing with us? Or are you being for real?
No. Go watch the footage where they're battling, and like look at the floor, and you can see the reflection of the window going on the floor.
I'm pretty sure, like in an interview, they said like because of the way of like how Tartarus is, and they can't really, you know, like make specific dungeons.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think they made it so that way Tartarus is a bit more
lively.
Lively, there's like more detail to Tartarus.
We'll get to that in a moment because I know what you're talking about. Because what did I say the last time we had this podcast? Wait until Sunday because we get all the information, we get all the new looks, we're gonna get a lot of these screenshots that we've seen afterwards. I wanna give a shout out really quick to YouTube user Foz. He posted a Japanese trailer that's now out for Persona 3 Reload, and there's even more footage of him running around over at the strip mall, running around the shrine, running around. There's new animations with Igor in the contract. There's a whole lot more. And it's fan fantastic. Oh, and initially I was like, oh my God, I really want to play this game. I'm willing to forego it on Game Pass. I want to buy it on Steam. And then the IGN article dropped. This was on the day of that they released the trailer. The headlines, Persona 3 Portable won't include content from Fez or Portable, including the female protagonist. And everyone was like, so essentially you're making us play a straight port of 3. Or a straight remake of 3 and ignore everything that happened in Fez or Portable. Because as people started to kind of like talk about, not only you have the answer or FMC, you also have all the dates with Elizabeth. You have the I Guess Social Link that was added in Fez. You have Walks of Korra and Mario. You have some of the other events that have happened, and a lot of the quality of life stuff that made Fez and Portable much more playable than the original. And then there was an interview on 4Gamer, and I think this is what Jericho you're alluding to, and they kind of talked about that. Yeah, we're kind of retooling it, but we're also doing a lot of elements from 5, and we're expanding the quote unquote social links. And I think we're getting this direction where it may not necessarily be a social link anymore, but more of like what it is for the confidence system in Persona 5. So now, for example, Yukari at a certain rank will now teach you how to cook and make coffee, as alluded to in the trailer, meaning that you can now make your own consumables to take with you into Tartarus. So I think that could be, but we don't know yet. Talk about social links. They said because of how the social links were designed for 3, they really can't expand on the male social links or really add on to it. So they're just going to do more like backstories to fill in those blanks. So you're going to get a lot more like their origin stories of Junpei and Akihiko and Shinjiro primarily. But there's a lot from this interview that got translated. And essentially, also what this says is that we're not getting 6 for a while. Essentially, have you noticed that? Ever since Reload came out, we've been quiet on the 6 front.
Do you mean Royal, or are you referring to, like, Reload?
Persona 6.
No, like, I mean, like you said, when when Reload came out. Like,
oh no, no, when everything came out, when it came out last week that Reload is coming out. Have you not heard anything about
that? I see.
Come on,
no,
no.
We never mentioned it. I doubt it's going to come for a while.
Because, like, A, obviously the new Persona announcements, but B, too, also, like, Metaphor ReFantasia. It's like, that's going to be their new big IP that they want to launch. So I think they want to give, you know, P6 under wraps until then.
Yeah, but that's also Studio Zero, though, because then you have P Studio that's working on P3R. That's a different one. But essentially what happened was that during the development of Royal, towards the very end, some of them shipped it over to Reload. And then once Royal got done, then they all shipped it over to Reload. So essentially, they've been working on this since like 2019. So essentially, they have not worked on Persona 6 at all during this time frame, which I'm okay with it. Because either, what do we want? Either a remake of 3 or 6. That's all we wanted.
Yeah, I'm getting a remake of 3 and also new P5 games. So
yeah, we'll talk about you towards the back end.
You know, something that still kind of puzzles me though is the fact that we have I can understand the storage constraints for like Fez or Royal on like the old PS2 like DVDs, but the fact that we're already on a Blu-ray disc, I can hold like what, 10 times the storage amount on a normal DVD, that we still properly cannot get Fez and Portable all in one little combination pack? Or at least one, like, big cup? What?
Yeah, in terms of, like, a remade version, or just, like, the game
like itself? A solid, complete version that has either all of 3, all of the answer when Fez, plus either a version that has the FemZero. I mean, then again, there is the theory that we did talk about last week too, that either, and it come actually now that we've come to realize it, it's likely going to be DLC. No, there's not going to be an expansion because there's no need for expansions anymore. It's going to be DLC. There's
This is Atlas we're talking about, Ryan.
It's going to be understand. Worse.
It's going to come out with the updated re-release in 2 to 3 years. And it's gonna be like, oh, there's gonna be some day one DLC too.
Oh, we'll talk about day one DLC when it comes to Persona 5 Tactica. But my theory is that they're gonna redo. We're gonna have a Reload 2 with FemZ, and then somewhere in there will be the downloadable answer. Because I think it makes sense to not include the answer from day one. You want people to play.
Wait, what?
Hear me out. Not on day one, because you want people to play through the game as if, because you remember, Fez came out a year after 3. So if we want the full Persona 3 experience, you have to play it through without the answer attached to it. And then down the line, once you get that feel of like, okay, this is where the game is, and I played through it, then you throw the answer in right in like the next 6 months to a year, for example, assuming that what that is gonna be, and then somewhere down the line, we'll get a brand new game, as I said, Reload 2 with FemZ in it, and it will sell separately for the same price as the original Reload. Watch.
I can't believe I'm actually hearing that you actually say that. That is something I would never believe you say, given how much of a diehard you go over 3 since I've known you.
It's like, hey, there were 3 versions of 3 during the classic era. There are now going to be at least two versions of the new era of Persona 3. We're going to have to relive it the same way we lived it back in the old days.
Hell yeah, baby.
Hey, at least they removed fatigue and Reload, so you don't have to worry about getting sick while you're in Tartarus.
Oh, but that's the whole experience.
Right?
Well, it was the initial experience in 3, and then they removed it for Fez and for Portable. I mean, I personally played through it. It's like I didn't really like it, but that's what made 3 unique. Is that the fatigue system, because then you couldn't be like Persona 5 and go through an entire dungeon in one day. But apparently everything has changed now, so they want to make it so that you can focus more on having relationships with your other friend characters.
They're social links.
Yeah, social links. They're saying it's more than social links. Again, I think it's a blend between social links and confidants. Which, by the way, speaking of social links, I'm hearing that all social links will be fully voiced.
It's 2023. They should be voiced by now.
Well, I hope so, because speaking of voices, when we got the announcement of Reload, we thought, okay, you can't bring Vic back. Vic has been blacklisted from the dubbing community after the shit he went through in 2019. He's not coming back. Apparently, I found out that Karen Schausman also fell off the wagon as
I guess. Yeah, I heard about that.
That's true.
Apparently, she went the anti-vaxxer route. I'm like, ooh, okay. So,
yep, that's not good.
Yeah. So, apparently, they have recasted everybody. And I mean everybody.
Yeah, everybody, actually. That's true.
So, once again, this is courtesy of Foz on Twitter. I mean, I'm going to... I already subscribed to this guy. He's so good when it comes to Persona news. It's kind of like another filter, but like more of kind of like on the newsy side. He puts out the whole English dub. And also, you can, if you go to these people's Twitter accounts, you can see their announcements like, oh my god, look at me, I'm the new yada yada yada, right? So I guess it's now being played by Don Bennett. Akihiko Sanada is being played by Alejandro Saab. Fuka Migishi is being played by Susie Young. Junpei Yori is played by Zeno Robinson. Yeah. Ken Amada, Justine Lee, Mitsuda Kirijo is being played by Allega Clark. Shinjiro is being played by Justice Solkrom. Yukari Takuma is being played by Heather Gonzalez. And the protagonist, a.k.a. Makoto, is being played by Alex Lee, a.k.a. Luke from Street Fighter VI.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That is true.
Luke is Street Fighter
VI. One more time. Let me make sure I heard that correctly.
Okay. The protagonist, a.k.a. Makoto, is being played by Alex Lee, a.k.a. Luke from Street Fighter VI.
Yep. Day one Japanese dub. That's it.
Wow. Bro. Wow. That's saying something, Ryan. Rude. That's a shot right there. Why?
By the way, speaking of that, nobody for the Japanese side has been recasted.
So wait, so even the old game Japanese dub is still have the same cap.
It's still there. That's the trippy.
That, though?
Yes.
Wow. Oh. Okay, so that's crazy because like by then
from
that's
what
like,
I read.
Yeah, but that, by then, that's like, what, 20 plus years in the game. So it's like, oh, wow. So they're pretty old, yet they can still voice these characters. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, like I said, getting rid of Vic Bagnara, getting rid of Karen Schausman was a given. But no Laura Yerenthal, no Tara Plott, no Michelle Ruff, no Liam O'Brien. Those were legendary.
And heads up, they still are doing voice acting, too. This is just a brand new cast. I mean, the only person that I recognize is Zeno Robinson. He's everywhere, and I just never expected him to be a part of P3 Reload as Junpei. And FYI, when I looked at his tweet, he was very excited to be Junpei. I think he grew up with the game, so I'm proud for Zeno. I can't wait to hear him when I play P3 Reload. But yeah, this whole new cast is so different. It's like a new generation of voice actors coming into this game, and who knows, it could be good.
So does that make Ryan a hater?
I know. I'm going to ask Ryan. What's up with that? What's up with that?
You know what? I will hear Ryan out because on one end, yeah, I want to give all of these new people a chance, especially Zeno Robinson as Junpei, because as much as people don't like Vic planted his voice on Junpei for years to come. And you gotta keep in mind, everybody came back in 2018 for the dancing games. Not like it's been a long time since they've reprised their roles. They came back as early as 2018. So all of a sudden now, we're flipping the dub. And this is where I might be a little bit worried, because usually this means that something big is happening within the dubbing part of this. And there is something. I might have to read up more on this, because like, it is rare to do an entire recast. Not to mention, I listed like the main cast of C's. Igor hasn't been announced yet. Elizabeth hasn't been announced yet. Some of the other major characters have been announced yet. All the social links that are going to be voiced have been announced yet. So we're waiting to see who does those voices. And are those going to change?
I mean, Matt does bring a fair point, and that's part of the reason why I'm kind of on the fence. What happens if the normal socialings don't get recast, but they do get recast, but the other, like the main Seas squad, or most of the Seas, what about the villains of the game? Like, what if everyone?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like it's a whole. I feel like everybody is going to be recasted.
Yeah, going to get recasted. Yeah, because like you said, we haven't heard Jin's new VA. If there's going to be one, Takaya's new VA, if there's going to be one, Chidori's new VA, if there's going to be one, and you got to remember the whole dynamic between Junpei and Chidori. Those two joys actors really drove those performance home. And now you got to have two brand new people do the same exact thing. So,
but
can they do it? And yes, these voices that we've known from like likes of Mitsuru or Yukari, those are legendary. That is probably up there, the upper echelon of like video game. And this is at a time when like voice acting direction in video gaming wasn't taken seriously, and we still got one of the better dubs in the last 25 years of video gaming.
I'm sorry, but just it's so iconic. I don't think it can be beat. Like you said, 20 years, it may have been that long, but the fact of the matter is that we have one of the most iconoclast like performances out of a 20-year-old game that it was in the early to late thousands. The fact that it was that iconic, and it was such a great performance for the entire English cast, I don't think they can be beat. I'm sorry, I want to give them a chance, but I, not to mention also that us being for the first time outside of not having to import the game from Japan to actually hear the Japanese dub or cast being played in 4K at possibly 60. Have we confirmed if it's up to 60 or 120 frames per second yet? Have we confirmed that yet?
I believe it's 4K 60.
At 60 frames, HD quality at that, that we actually get to be able to do this. I just honestly, I want to give the new cast a chance, but I just don't think it can beat. I call me a purist if you will. I kind of won't settle.
I'm calling you a hater.
That's a tough take. That's a tough take, Ryan, when you just put that up there.
You know what? Ryan is not wrong, but I think some people will be more tolerable of giving these new voices a chance, especially if you're the ones who don't really like what happened in 2019 and beyond, and you like this new age of casting from the likes of Allegra Clark and Zeta Robinson.
I mean, who knows? Like, you just might enjoy the new cast more.
I don't know, guys. Another thing is, too, is it just feels to me that, like, why not keep the original cast, but recast the two
problem people,
the two problematic of the group?
My thing is, like, who knows if they're busy? That's the other thing. Because,
well, come on.
There's, like I said, I have a feeling there's a lot more to this. Because you just don't redub everybody over. Imagine if Final Fantasy VII Rebirth all of a sudden had a brand new English dub. Like, everyone got recasted. Would you be like, what the fuck? Why?
I mean, didn't they actually do that when between Advent Children to like Final Fantasy Remake? I know, there was like a literal like, what? No, I'm pretty sure there was a different VA cast from Advent Children all the way back when to now.
I don't remember.
I'm almost 100% certain that Cloud is still played by the same guy that did the Advent Children version of it.
I'm pretty sure he isn't.
Yeah, but I think I just try to make an example of like, if something changed dramatically, you're going to be like, what the hell? And I think for this English dubcast, and I might do some more research while, you know, we go to this AX phase, but there is something itching at me. Just like, I just want to do some more investigative work. I want to be like CoffeeZilla against a $500 million pyramid scheme and then get threatened. Do you guys know who CoffeeZilla is?
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, I watch his videos too. Oh. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, we'll come back to the VA stuff because we'll tie this all together with the Anime Expo. But yeah, we also talked about the fact that there is a Persona 5 game out called Persona 5 Tactica. And yes, it looks like exactly like Persona XCOM.
It's happening, guys.
It's happening. I can't wait for Ryuji to go straight up, point blank, at some enemy with a shotgun and just miss.
Hey, I do have to say though, the new side piece character looks good for Joker's harem.
for P5T. Maybe. Yeah, for P5T. So, I mean, like, from the way I'm seeing it, it definitely looks like PQ, but they're new characters, so, again, PQ. I just feel like it's another PQ, but this the P5 characters this time.
I mean, are we sure it's even, like XCOM gameplay? Like, it'd be more like Fire Emblem.
Well,
oh, it'd be cool if it was.
It feels like a cross between Fire Emblem and XCOM, because the way it goes... But, I think we'll have to get our hands on this game just to see how it really does play. Because a lot of this gameplay is just like, it's showing the game off. But I think the better part is that this game is coming out on November 17th. So right before Thanksgiving, we're going to get Persona 5 Tactica. It was announced at the Xbox game showcase, and it's going to be on Game Pass. But then it was revealed later on it's going to not only be on those consoles, but also going to be on the PlayStation consoles and on PC through Steam and on the Switch. I mentioned earlier that Reload is not on the Switch. There's two leading theories to why we have not heard anything in terms of a Switch version for Reload. Ryan has one and I have one.
I'm not really going to say a theory. It's more just like common knowledge of the Switch. And just like given the track record of like A-list games that try to play on the Switch and turn out to be like really fucking terrible. We have to look with the likes of The Witcher, which we already know plays fantastic on other consoles. It played at a choppy... I can't even say 30 frames a second. I want to say like 20 to 15 frames a second on the Switch. It was just unplayable, The Witcher. Then we look at the likes of Hogwarts Legacy. We were supposed to get Hogwarts Legacy for the Switch when previous gen consoles, that being Xbox One and PS4, came out. Unfortunately, that got delayed from... So let's just take it back to February. Hogwarts Legacy comes out on next gen for PS5, PC, and Xbox Series. 2 months later, in April, we get PS4 and Xbox One. We were supposed to get Switch. Initially, that got delayed from winter of 2022 to April of 2023. Then got pushed to July of 2023. And now, from July of 2023, Hogwarts Legacy for the Switch has now been pushed back to November of 2023. Now, I also want to say from experience that the fact of the matter is just because I hate to say it, the Switch is a great console. Its hardware is completely irrelevant, or at least outdated at this time and point compared to its competitors. And because of how old the processor is, how old the GPU chip is, they haven't made any modern improvements outside of the OLED being just the screen, increased memory storage. Outside of that, it's still the same old Switch we had back in 2016, 2017. We're going into 6 to almost 7 years of the Switch's lifespan. And the fact of the matter is, trying to play Persona, don't get me wrong, Royal plays great. Royal plays great on the Switch, albeit it's not 60 frames like the other consoles. But the fact that we're trying to do a full Unreal Engine 5 Persona 3 remake on, try to put that on the Switch, there's no way the hardware can handle it. If other AAA titles have a hard time playing on the Switch, there's no way Reload can be played on the Switch properly.
So my theory is we haven't heard from it yet because Nintendo's going to announce it at their next Direct. And we're going to have it. It's going to play horrible.
I can only hope that this recording reaches someone with a conscience.
We'll see. I mean, they have P5 and P3 on Switch, so it could work with P3 Reloaded.
I mean, we'll see, but just like, I just, because of the hardware, I don't think it's going to be able to run Reload. Sure, we can play Vanilla 3 as is, or at least the portable version of 3, but what's your guys' take on it? Let me take a hot take real quick.
I think they're going to try to get it to run, and it's going to run horrible. People are going to complain. They're just going to play it on the more superior consoles or on PC.
You know, like I said, there's some that can't, you know, afford a PS5 or the Xbox, or don't have a PC or anything like that. So for those that like only can have a Switch version of it, they can run with it and then they'll play with it. So, I mean, I mean, it won't be like the better version, considering that PC, Xbox, and PS5 have the better graphics. But if it can run on Switch, it can run on the Switch. I don't think it's going to run horribly. It can just run probably a little bit slower than usual, but it could work. I can see it work.
You know, if P5 Vanilla can run on the PS3, I'm going to bet that P3 Reloaded can run on the Switch.
Unreal Engine 5, that graphically demanding engine, you're saying it's going to run on Switch?
Possible.
We don't know until we see it.
I know they never released Persona 5 Royal for PS3, but $5 says they could have released it. It'd still run fine, right? My bet, the Switch is by and large about on par with the level of a PS3. My guess is that P3 Reloaded probably will just run as fine as P5 on the PS3. If they're using the same engine.
But given it's going to be running on Unreal 5, do you think it'd be optimized enough to the where it can be played on Switch at least above 30 frames a second, if not where it chugs?
So I mentioned day one DLC. Apparently there's going to be day one DLC for Persona 5 Tactica. It is supposed to bring back characters that are not in the base game. So we might see a Keiichi, Sumire, Zenkichi, or Sophia. Sumire, whatever. Ryan, buzz
on. Yep, definitely buzzing you on that one.
Again, this is where I get worried about day one DLC, because if they're willing to put DLC on Tactica, they're more than willing to put DLC for Reload. I
didn't doubt that. Yeah. I didn't doubt that, and that's exactly what I said.
Yeah, but how they do it is going to be a mystery. Whether or not they sell it as DLC or they repackage it and put a brand new game in it, we'll see. But like I said, I'll probably do some more digging on the VA stuff. We'll probably hear a lot more information about these games at Anime Expo, because they are doing panels. There's going to be a P5T panel over at Petrie Hall. This is going to be on Monday from 10 to 11. It's going to feature Liana Albanese. I believe she's playing the new character Ellie. That's the name I'm getting from like all of the material. Matt Mercer, Sharon Millay, and Zanny Hugh. So everybody from Persona 5. And then I don't know when they'll reload. I think it might be they have a promo for the VA panel for Persona 3 Reload, but I don't know if it's at the same time or on a different time. Here is the best part. They are putting out a form for questions.
That's for P3 Reload, though. So,
and for Tactica.
Oh, okay, well then.
Hey, where's Femsi?
Probably the question that everyone's going to be asking.
Hey, where's the answer? Why is everyone recasted? Where's Femsi?
Oh my god.
Where's Femsi? I've been hearing this, and I got to do more research. Apparently, we've all been incorrect about where GekkoCon and Tatsumi Port Island is. We've been wrong this entire time. It's not Kobe. It's Odaiba.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Because the bridge in the game is Rainbow Bridge in real life Tokyo. So I got to do more research, but that blew my mind. So, you know what's funny is, we talked about Persona for this very long time, and we have yet to talk about the big elephant in the room. We're talking about the galaxy-sized, thousand-planet-wide game known as Starfield. And a whole...
You mean No Man's Sky?
Yeah, No Man's Sky with guns. Todd Howard, I have a question for you. How the fuck did you get this game to run. How?
Okay. I know he said it. There's the big elephant in the room, but you gotta look at it from the perspective that that's not on PC.
Okay, because I heard about this. I heard about this.
If you have a good running PC, that it can work on.
Well,
you know,
hold on. Starfield is locked to 30 frames on the Xbox consoles, but will be 60 frames on PC.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So 30 frames a second on Series S at 1080, where we're going to get 30 frames a second 4K like fidelity. We're not going to get a performance mode, but it's going to be fidelity to get the high like resolution, the high like, you know, everything, like ideally a ray traced version of the game at full fidelity at 4K, but locked 30 on Series X. But if you are playing on PC hardware, you're not going to have any issues. You're not going to have that lock frame rate. Thank God for Game Pass.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you're talking about how it's going to run, right? Because recently, when this all got updated for the fact that it's coming out not only on the consoles, but also on Game Pass, but also on Steam, the specs came out for it. And
oh,
right
here
now,
we go.
Yeah, okay. Oh. So for minimum, it's asking for a Ryzen 5 2600X or an i7 6800K with 16 gigs of RAM. It's gonna you need either a RX 5700 or a 1070 Ti with DirectX version 12. If you want to play the recommended, you need a Ryzen 5 3600X or an i5 10600K.
Jeez.
This is recommended. The 6100K
is recommended.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's not bad.
So the minimum on Intel is this i7-6800K. The recommended is the way ahead of the CPU generation with the Intel i5-10600K. You still need 16 gigs of RAM. I believe you could probably need more. The recommended graphics card for AMD is an RX 6800 XT or an NVIDIA RTX 2080.
So it's like small, the older ones to say.
It's still within parameters, but we're two generations from where we're at now. That is the recommended spec. I'm surprised they're not saying 2080 Ti at this rate, how demanding that game is going to be.
I was expecting like 30s, like in the 30 series for those graphics cards.
Here is the best part. You're going to need 125 gigs of storage for this game.
That's a ballpark compared to Call of Duty.
Oh, and you need an SSD.
So it has to be solid state drive.
It has to be a solid state or
so M.2. So you have to store it on a solid state drive. You can't put it on a HDD. Okay. And
to me, that makes perfect sense.
It's just because of the faster speed, right?
No, because of how Starfield's going to work with the transfer shit and like it'll transfer between like the RAM.
Yeah,
and,
I see.
Yeah,
pretty much everything communicates between the processor, the graphics card, and the RAM. Pretty much, not to mention also read and write speeds. How quickly it's going to be reading the game from your solid state drive? It makes logical sense because of the fact if you look at it from perspective, given how graphically demanding the game is going to be, how it's almost going to be running it like, of course, depending on spec on PC or your PC, if you're going to be running it 4K, are you going to be running it at a lower graphic quality, but also be doing ray tracing? That's another big thing. Given the size of the game, but not to mention also how graphically demanding the game is, it makes sense why solid state drives are required, given the fact that I'm going to use another example. I know it has nothing to do with Xbox per se, but from the PS5 perspective, if you're using an external drive, it will only allow you to put PS5 games on the external drive and allow you to play PS4 and store PS4 games on the drive. you cannot play PS5 games from an external drive, even if it was like a solid state drive. You have to have the internal M.2 drive, which all of us have know what M.2 is at this rate, but you have to have an M.2 internally on your PS5 to play or read or write to the drive on PS5. So given from the perspective of seeing that on PC, logically to me, it makes sense from that perspective.
And for that M2 drive, you could like put as much memory as you want, like a terabyte to more than that, you know?
I mean, so, if you really want to go balls to the wall, like Sabret has what, a 10 terabyte drive now?
Yeah, they're getting higher. They're getting higher when it comes to their memory now.
They're getting bigger and bigger.
But if anything, you'll need that big, massive one unless you want to store a lot of games on that solid state drive.
Well, I think this is where you start having multiple drives for multiple things, as I think most of us do. We have a boot drive, or like where we kind of keep some files. Then we have a gaming SSD or NAND too. So that's where Starfield's probably gonna go is on that second one. And I mean to get an upgrade. I may need a new Sabret at some point. And right now, you can probably get like a Samsung 980 Evo for like 50 for like 2 terabytes. They've come down in price.
Would you really put Starfield on a third gen drive over fourth gen, given most modern builds are using fourth gen drives now?
Well, whatever drive is the more relevant. I just use Samsung 980 because that's the one I know from Samsung. That's like an example in my head. Yeah, but yeah.
Well, I mean, this is Evo and Pro, but yeah.
Yeah. So there was a lot that we went through with Starfield. Also to note, the pricing has come out. There's going to be a standard $69, $70 edition. There's going to be a $100 premium edition. And then there's the collector's edition for $300. And it has a watch that can sync to your phone. Woo!
I'm sorry. I did see the collectors this evening, and like I'm hyped for it. But again, I stand by what I said earlier in the week. Given after what now I've seen directly from Spider-Man 2's release, at least the pre-orders have started for Spider-Man 2 today. Fortunately, all the retailers are getting the launch edition. Sony has barred the deluxe and the collectors as a Sony exclusive, Sony Online Store exclusive. And hear me out. Starfield, for the collectors, will give you a steelbook, but like Sony has been doing, they're going to dick you out of a disc and give you a steelbook case with a digital code for the amount of money that you're spending.
No.
Why is it becoming the norm?
Yeah.
I'm furious.
But you know what, though? You can build your own ship in this game. You can dogfight in space anytime, anywhere. You can hire a crew. You can build a base on any planet, anytime, anywhere. Okay. I mean, that, no physical game in the Toxic Club.
There's literally nothing but a watch and a pretty low case to look at with no game in it.
25 years, right, Todd Howard?
It just works.
It just works.
Speaking of it just works, Nate, you're going off kite.
Nice little lead into that.
Yeah, it just works with VTubers, right?
Yeah, I guess. I guess I can just explain like only a couple minutes of like what I can do for off kite. I don't know what much to say about it. I know it's a lot of VTubers that are going to be over there at Off-Kai. I'm only going to be there, planning to only be there for only one day, for Saturday. I really was wishing and hoping to get those Iron Mouse tickets, but they've all been sold out, which makes sense. She is a very popular VTuber from Visojo. But there's also the concert that's happening also at night, so I'm planning to attend that. There's also a lot of other panels that are going to be there. To be fair, like I know minimal when it comes to the VTuber stuff, but what I've been hearing right now since the first day just came out, as we were recording here on the 16th, that it's already packed. There's a lot of people that are already over there. So the VTuber fans are definitely over there right now, rooting for whoever VTubers are there. So right now it seems to be like very exciting. off Kai, but I'll be attending it again on the 17th. So let's see how it is. And let's see how off Kai goes.
Did they, like, is there like a sort of autograph session with the
they
VTubers
don't,
at all?
I don't know if they ever do autograph sessions. They do meet and greets because, like, they're VTubers. They don't, I don't think you can, like, do an autograph session over there. It's more of like you have a, you buy tickets, you go meet them for like a minute, like a picture with them, give a gift to them or say hi to them, you know, that kind of thing. And yeah, that's it. I mean,
what if they did a printer that, like, basically, like, replicates their signature on whatever?
I mean, not the same as like having an official autograph to say.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing too is for the VTubers, they don't really show their face at all. Some do, like they would go around. I mean, there's some there's some VTubers that are like at Off-Kai right now that are like walking around, but you don't know them if you don't know them personally. So yeah, there's that. But,
I mean,
yeah.
Several VTubers could probably be walking around Anime Expo underneath our very
That's houses. True. That is true. But I have a feeling that we're probably going to see them anyways. But no, I mean, this definitely looks like a fun con. I don't have any meet and greets. I'm just going to be over there just to roam around and see how the convention goes. But aww. Like I said already, I know I want an Iron Mouse one, but I couldn't get one because everybody wants one. I know. but besides, like I said, we'll see how Off-Kai goes. Can't wait to see how it's going to be tomorrow.
So next week, we'll definitely circle back to Off-Kai and we'll get Nate's recap. And then we'll go straight into our Anime Expo 2023 preview because I got a feeling there are a little more bombshells that are going to be dropped between now and the next time we record. And hopefully we get all the information and now they're scrambling the week up because somehow, some way, Goosebumps didn't get their whole list out until the week of. We're like, oh shit, the whole shopping list just changed. My God. So that'll do it for tonight's podcast. Thank you all for listening to this episode of the CaliCon Blogcast. If you like what you heard, you can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. Speaking of bombshells, I'm going to leave you with Power Man 5000's bombshell. Thanks, Ryan.
The track, the 21st century killing machine, burned on the inside of 5-headed team. Now I'm not the same, yeah, cause you're not the same. And you're not the same, yeah, cause I'm not the same. And we're not the same, this could never be the same. And we just wanna survive.